Here are the highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. Visit freetalklive.com for the full episode.
Some bad news in the world of Bitcoin trading. This story from news.bitcoin.com, and I know you were interested in this one, Will. It is about local Bitcoins. A Detroit man has been sentenced to a year and a day for operating a so-called unlicensed Bitcoin business, boasts the Department of Justice, U.S. Attorney's Office, District of Maine, in a press release dated December 4th. An action involving many different agencies and bureaus over two states resulted in the arrest, plea, and jailing of Sal Mancy for not registering his peer-to-peer Bitcoin sales and profit with the requisite agency. According to the story, Local Bitcoins is a peer-to-peer exchange allowing buyers and sellers of cryptocurrencies to safely trade and is generally to get rid of or hold of fiat paper, meaning that you can exchange your Bitcoin for money, for the dollar, for the U.S. dollar. You can exchange the dollar for the Bitcoin. Either way, increasingly, this service is in particular being targeted by U.S. federal law enforcement authorities who, in spite of lawmakers' pronouncements about Bitcoin not being a currency, are invoking currency statutes to prosecute Bitcoiners.
Of course they are.
According to the story here, the third case in the row of this nature, two of them are from Michigan. Detroit and the word blight are almost synonymous these days, says news.bitcoin.com. So federal law enforcement's targeting of Mr. Mancy is doubly curious. He appeared to be one of the few residents making things happen financially in Detroit. Mancy used his company, TV Toys, with a Z at the end of toys, to store his Bitcoin profits, triggering all manner of allegations of money laundering, fraud, and lack of money services business license. Now, money laundering, as I understand it, again, I'm not an attorney. Please, if you've got a better understanding of this stuff, feel free to call in toll-free at 855-450-FREE like freedom. As I understand it, money laundering is taking the proceeds of illegal transactions. So the classic example would be selling drugs.
Yeah.
Something that the government says is illegal. You have made money from that, you, the theoretical you out there. You've made money off of illegal transactions. And money laundering would be to engage in some sort of an activity to take the illegal proceeds and make them appear as though they were legal.
You were talking about the TV shows mentioning it. Weren't the first TV shows to mention it, like the, you know, like the cop dramas, the investigatory shows,
the good
like
West.
Like you know CSI or something like that, you
right.
know, where well, they're like it's the being criminals. Used to buy only the criminals on the dark nets,
right.
and they're like
well,
buying Bitcoin, and they're like. Enhance.
Well, no, actually,
enhance.
The very first time, the very first time that I saw it was on The Good Wife, which is like this really left leaning, like lawyer show, you know.
Right.
And she's supposedly the attorney for Satoshi Nakamoto.
Okay.
And they want him to give up Satoshi's private keys, and he's refusing, and they're trying to throw him in jail for refusing, and it turns out at the end that they kind of imply that he and like this group of like tech geeks that he knows are Satoshi Nakamoto, like that they're this group of people, but
right.
like they don't cast.
That's what I've heard. I've heard it's a group.
I've heard it's Elon Musk.
They don't cast Bitcoin in a negative light, though. They actually cast it in a fairly positive light.
That's good.
If you had one of these. online economies that was based on a cryptocurrency with one of these virtual reality environments. I mean, there were people making massive livings on Second
right.
Life, creating weird virtual goods. I mean,
and
obviously the modern example of this now is probably CryptoCats.
Right, CryptoCats.
But I mean, imagine if that was like a virtual environment. It's interesting that we haven't really seen something like this take off yet, because that kind of economy could be explosive.
Well, hasn't World of Warcraft really already shown us that this whole argument about the need for a state backing of a currency for it to be valuable or valid is completely bogus, because you literally have state-backed currencies. You have some of them tagged to the wall over here that World of Warcraft money is worth
more than
more money.
You're referring to the Venezuelan Bolivar.
Yes. I mean, that's insanity. So
it is. So what I was bringing the video games up for was, you know, if I go and I play one of these online games and I want to, or I build up a character, right? Like a character at a level 70 and he's got, you know, the bastard sword or whatever.
Right.
And, you know, it's a very rare item that the person has. And I'm like, you know, I just don't have time for this game anymore, but somebody might want this character. You can, in some of those games, you can sell the character on, like, eBay.
I wanted to bring up a conversation you were having last night about why you have so few, such a small variety of callers.
Okay.
Or why there are so many chronic callers.
Yeah.
I was wondering whether you really believe that was whether that was a real question, whether you really were curious why there's so few callers.
Well, I mean, I don't have any explanation. I mean, we're on more radio stations now than we, you know, have ever been.
Right.
Historically. Right. But we actually had more callers when we were a local show in Sarasota, right. Florida. Like, it was wall-to-wall phone calls back then. We tend to get a whole lot of calls on, like, Saturday nights because we have more bigger stations carrying the show, and they're carrying the show live. Not every station we has carries the show live during the week. So we do have a limited kind of exposure on weeknights, but it is interesting that a local show version of Free Talk Live was actually more caller participation than the national version. And it's been that way since day number one of syndication. But did you want to speculate?
Yeah, I think that, you know, the callers who have listened for a while, or people who might call who've listened for a while, realize that the callers are the entertainment.
This is the big week for Star Wars, right?
Sure.
The movie is coming out this week,
sure.
So the game just hits, I guess, what, PS4, 360, I imagine.
Right.
So what's going on?
Well, not 360, but Xbox One.
Oh, is that what it's called now?
Yeah,
Xbox One.
Yep.
It's easy to follow the PlayStations because they just add a number on there.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Whereas Microsoft has never had a...
Nope. Just trying to confuse people.
They're like, we're going to go from Windows 8 set or 7, 8, X. What?
Right.
You know, like, what are we going to do?
Xbox One, Xbox... What was it? 360? Oh, no, it's the other way around. Xbox 360, then Xbox.
They're like, Windows 3.1, Windows XP, Vista. What?
Windows Me. You forgot Windows Me.
Windows Me.
Right.
Windows 98.
Yeah.
XP.
And then they're just going to jump 10, right? When they go to 10.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
So what's going on with Battlefront? This is a very popular game. This is a beautiful game. I've seen it played online, and just it's stunning.
Well, Battlefront, Battlefront 2 is unbelievable. Actually, they did some demos, too, with the first one where they had, like, somebody turned on some weird texture mapping, and it looked like
the movie.
It was unbelievable. Yeah. So the second one just looks even better.
Star Wars, it is almost that time. The Last Jedi, the second sequel to the original trilogy, so the middle movie of the new trilogy, is coming out this week. The box office, well, obviously, it hasn't hit the box office technically, but they're expecting it's going to rake in like $250 million on its first weekend, which would be a pretty much close to record-setting number.
Even if it was terrible, it would do amazing, though.
It will.
I mean, come on.
And it's getting great reviews. If you go to RottenTomatoes.com, I don't know which ones have the spoilers and which ones don't, but 93% of their reviewers are saying this is a fresh movie, this is good. They're saying it is almost as good as The Empire Strikes Back.
Wow.
Almost. So lots of accolades so far for the new film. What is it, coming out Thursday night? I honestly don't know what the date is. Friday, Thursday night.
Again, though, I mean, it could literally be 2 hours of Mark Hamill and Carrie Fisher and Harrison Ford farting on screen.
Harrison Ford is... Oh, I guess we shouldn't spoil the last movie for you, but...
Oh, that's right.
I don't expect he's going to be back
for
this
one. No, he's
not.
That's right. He got killed in the previous one.
And Carrie Fisher really did die during the filming. So we'll see what happens.
That is the most inappropriate laugh ever.
Well, I mean, it was like the most inappropriate comment. It's like Harrison, you know, like, you know, Han died and Carrie Fisher actually died.
Tell me about what's going on. Why are gamers upset about the new Star Wars Battlefront 2 game?
Well, gamers had complained in recent days that it takes huge amounts of time or money to unlock features in Star Wars Battlefront 2. Regulators in Belgium, meanwhile, are looking at whether the game constitutes a form of gambling. Some Star Wars fans who paid roughly $60 to buy Battlefront 2 were upset to find that optional charges were built into the game that can cost them hundreds more.
Whoa!
We hear you loud and clear.
It's a $60 game probably right out the gate.
Yeah, yeah, that's what they just said, yeah. Right. We hear you loud and clear, so we're turning off all in-game purchases, said Oscar Gabrielsen, the general manager of the unit of gaming giant Electronic Arts that developed Battlefront 2. We will now spend more time listening, adjusting, balancing, and tuning. The only reason why they're doing that, because the outcry on this was
huge,
massive.
This is a huge game.
Yeah, I mean, and they had it out in beta testing, too. So very potentially, EA could stand to have all these people testing the game say, nah, we're not going to buy it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that the only reason why they're adjusting at all is because they made the tactical error of releasing it in advance. They would have loved to have just let people buy this game and then probably just not done anything about it. This is my
I see what
opinion,
you're saying. You're saying if they had just released the game and you had to pay for it to play it,
right,
that they would have been like, nah, we got your money.
Yeah, we got your money already, and now you want to play more, pay us more. They say here that previously they tried to make the fans just kind of go away a little bit they tried to reduce the cost of unlocking the hero characters by 75%, and it didn't work. That didn't make the fans go away because of this other practice that they're doing. They said that they're going to bring back these in-game purchases, and what they're doing is that the Belgian Commission Gaming Commission is investigating how players in Battlefront 2 and similar games are rewarded by unlocking loot boxes. The idea is that players pay real money to unlock a virtual loot box without knowing what kind of reward is inside. They also don't know how many loot boxes they might need in order to unlock in order to finish the game. Again, so that
you have to do this to finish the game.
Yeah, well, yeah, I guess there are ways. I mean, there's multiplayer, but there's also
the single player
campaign. Yeah, there's a single player campaign. But the other thing there is that, you know, that $2,000 number that we brought up earlier, it's a maybe.
It Which you'd have to pay $2,000 more, at least to get all the stuff in the game. Maybe.
I think it could be potentially much. That's like the minimum you have to pay.
Okay.
Peter Nixens, the general director of the Belgian Gaming Commission, says that the regulator is examining whether the rewards are allocated by chance and whether this might constitute a form of gambling. In Belgium, companies involved in gambling are required to have a license. Mm-hmm. Minors and people with gambling addiction problems are not allowed to play.
It's kind of the equivalent of, like, you know, if you're at the arcade. I know kids today don't know what that is, but if you're at the arcade, you remember they had the old toys, like the cheap toys that you, every time you'd play these games, you'd get some kind of tickets, right? Like the old skee ball, right? Like, you're going to get some ticket out of that, and then you can take that over and get some crappy toy out of it. I mean, it's not the best experience in the world, but it's not exactly gambling because you don't lose it all in that particular case. But nonetheless, it's just a bunch of bluster from the Belgian authorities in this particular case. They're just trying to make political hay out of this. I think that the gamers are rightfully upset about this particular policy. I mean, I find it offensive generally to have these pay for play or pay to win policies in games. But the other thing that one of the other, I guess, tendencies that we've seen in games these days, or at least I've observed other people playing in these games, is they don't have game servers anymore that you can run yourself.
Oh, yeah.
In a lot of these games, it's like, if you want to play, you just say, I want to play this game. And then the system will find the other players, and they'll, like, create a game on their servers for you to go and play. And I understand probably the rationale behind that, in that, you know, the average player, maybe they just want to jump into a game real fast and they don't want to have to look at a list of games and choose one. But, you know, back in my day as a gamer, you would actually see a list of the different games, and you could rank them by the ping time, which is like how fast the server was compared to where you were. If you think about, like, games like Hearthstone or Magic the Gathering or some of these online card games, the collectible card games that they do. Johnny Ray is a huge fan of Hearthstone, our Sunday night co-host, and he buys these expansion packs for the game. I think you have to buy them. Anyway, he gets the expansion packs. I've never actually played it. But there you know, in these games, you can buy these packs of cards in the game. Just sort of like when Magic the Gathering was big in real life, you'd buy a pack of cards. You don't know what the hell's in there.
You can do exactly the same thing with Magic the Gathering still in the virtual world. In the virtual world, I've got three games on my Xbox that you can buy expansion card packs just like that.
And it's a random crapshoot. You have no idea. And sometimes you'll get the same cards you got last time, you know, or you'll get a bunch of the cards that you got the last time you got a pack.
A pack full of land.
You know? They will guarantee you things like that it will have at least one rare card or something like that.
They'll say that.
They'll say on the outside, you're going to get at least one of these things. So that way, again, it's very attractive. The idea of collecting all the cards, of course, attracts people, and they want to spend more and more and more.
That ends up being like a Ghibli puff or an antique tricycle or something, you know? Like
the
guaranteed one special artifact, and it's like Jigglypuff.
It's useless.
It's like... does 0.01 damage or something.
And, of course, these are games that historically you've had to do pay to win.
Hey, Daily Digest listeners, this is Riley Blake. I enjoy Free Talk Live, and I know you do too, but finding time to listen to an entire episode isn't always easy. So, I produce the Daily Digest. I appreciate those of you who have supported me on Patreon and sent Bitcoin to me to thank me for producing these digests. For those who wish to support me on Patreon, visit patreon.com/crblake86. If you wish to send Bitcoin, visit patreon.com/crblake86 for those details. That's patreon.com/crblake86. Thank you.
We're busy. We're professionals. We've got a lot going on. We don't have time to spend... most of us don't have, you know, 5 hours a day to spend gaming like your average teenage boy does or something like that.
I miss it.
You do? I do, too. I do, too. But I don't miss it enough to actually make the time to do it. You know? It's like, it's fun still, but it feels so hollow these days. And I don't think that has anything to do with games being worse or anything like that. They're better looking now than they've ever been. But it's like, oh, I beat this game. Okay. Well... congratulations.
Yeah.
You know, I just have I have more fun playing with my dog.
The last game I really enjoyed, really enjoyed, was Grand Theft Auto V. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah, I agree with you there. I agree with you. But you know, and again, there's the kind of people who want to get like the complete, the completionists, as they call them today, mm-hmm. who in games like that, there'll be like a percentage of how complete the game is. You have to play like every in-game sub-game and like do every subplot and all
like
that.
Those types of games.
Do you try to get 100%?
I'll normally not get there, but I'll get really far.
Yeah, I did actually beat Grand Theft Auto V, so I played through that game. So every now and then, there'll be a game that I'm like, I play through it. Just
really
it's
quickly,
that good.
In every Assassin's... I play the Assassin's... I'm wearing an Assassin's you Creed are. Shirt right now. I play the Assassin's Creed games a lot, and really quickly in all of those games, I end up getting like things where they're like, you're in the top 1%.
I don't see why they're so mad about it, though, because...
the gamers?
Yeah, because it's something that's been going on in gaming forever, this whole thing like they did.
But has it always happened in the AAA big titles like this?
Yes, it just happened in Skyrim.
Really?
Yeah, Skyrim. I mean, if you want,
I had that game. I don't remember it in Skyrim.
In Skyrim, if you wanted to get like the Wizard's Castle up front instead of having to earn it, then you could buy it. There were certain armors, like the dragon bone armor, which is like you have to be all the way at the end to be able to get the dragon bone armor. You could buy that. You could purchase
with real money?
Yeah, you could go on Xbox Live and purchase it at Xbox Live.
Maybe they didn't have that in the PC version because I don't remember that at all. And Skyrim's kind of an old game at this point. Didn't that come out in like 2011?
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Like, this has been going on forever. Why are they mad about it now? Who cares?
10 cents a piece.
Bitcoin?
So you could be buying dragon bone armor or Bitcoin at 10 cents
a piece. In 2011.
Yeah.
The idea being that barking all those commands is somehow what? That's what they're trained to do? To issue all these ridiculous, confusing commands? Because they were drunk, but if I were sober, I would be confused by these commands. Put
your
arms up.
If you don't rub your belly and pat your head at the same time, we will shoot you dead right now.
Now, that didn't happen, but they did tell...
No, that's basically what happened.
Well, what they actually asked them to do was absolutely ridiculous. What they told this guy to do was to put his arms straight up in the air and then to crawl towards them.
While lying on the ground, face down.
No, he was kneeling.
Right.
And they said, you've got to put your arms straight up in the air. Do not put your arms down no matter what you do. If you have to fall forward, you need to fall on your face because you keep your arms straight up in the air. And then they tell them to crawl towards them.
Right.
How do you crawl with your arms up in the air? That is not possible.
And they also said, if you put your arms down, we'll shoot you.
That's right.
Exactly.
Crawl on your hands and knees with your arms in the air. Or we will shoot you.
They just said crawl towards us.
Well, that's what crawling is.
Right. It is always, in my experience, has been on both.
Pick your knees up and use your face as a shovel and run your face across the carpet for our enjoyment.
That would have been the way he would have, if he was to actually follow their command.
Rub your face on the floor like a dog. You can't put your face to the ground
with your arms in the air.
I'm somebody who has also suffered at the hands of the state and the Commonwealth and physically, economically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, the whole nine.
Mm-hmm.
I felt and I heard the emotion in his voice on the caller who had just called. And I had recently seen some video, actually saw today some video of that same exact officer. I guess it was, it's from the Justice for Daniel Shaver page on Facebook, fired cop Philip Brailsford post excessive force. And there's some video footage of him and his cohort gang members who happen to hide behind badges. Looks like, I don't really know what was going on. I have no idea what happened, but it doesn't look like it's definitely another excessive use of force by that guy. And the comments
you're saying
are
different
unreal.
Video has surfaced different of the video. Same officer in a different situation using excessive force?
Yeah, apparently it's August 2nd of 2016.
Okay, same year later
it
on.
It says, here is the cell phone footage of Philip Brailsford, excessive use of force that was issued against him in a previous incident. I'm so tempted to wish ill will against the police. Like, how would you, I wish you to all be in the same poverty and same pain of the people who are your victims. I don't want to say these things, but that's the psychology. That's where my mind goes to. I don't want to wish these guys ill will. I don't want to. I see, how do you talk to these people? How do you get them to protest? How do you get them? Because they get a pretty good paycheck. And,
Americans are way too content. They're very comfortable.
Yeah, the wives will stick up for them. The families, they'll all stick up for them because they got a comfortable life. And what about the people that they're persecuting? Their lives are not comfortable.
That's why you see some people in certain cities will come out and protest after police violence, because those people see it every single day. They live with this. They live with the cops coming in there. Like the one in Baltimore recently where the cops shut down an entire neighborhood because of some kind of shooting involving a cop. And so they literally created checkpoints and they were demanding papers, please, from anybody that wanted to come into that neighborhood, including the residents. They were handing
out. That's called martial law.
Yeah.
If you think you're free and you're not living under it now, all they have to be, these people are, they are the occupying force that the founding fathers had warned against. And I understand these people feel like they're doing, I understand they think they're doing a good job and they may have done some good in their job.
But the whole thing with this Tether, I guess it's the same ownership as Bitfinex, from what I was reading.
That's the largest trading platform, I believe, in the world, Bitfinex, which has also had some questionable decisions that they've made over the years.
And I guess what it sounds like is that Tether, kind of like our old Federal Reserve, does not have reserve and will not cash you out. And allegedly, they basically counterfeited a whole bunch of, digital U.S. dollars, or what is supposed to be the equivalent. And
so the claim for those that don't know, the Tether currency, it claims that they have one U.S. dollar in a vault somewhere, in a bank account or something like that, for every Tether that is issued. That's the claim. You're saying that you don't believe it.
Well, that's what some other folks are saying, and what's got me kind of concerned, I guess, is some doomsday kind of guy on Reddit, talking about some big collapse because of this. And I guess I was thinking the only people who would really be affected would be anybody holding this type
That's
of thing,
correct.
Right?
Yep.
I mean, those folks who got into Tether and got them into other coins and stuff, they're through that already. So I guess the exchanges, Bitfinex namely, would be largely affected, but I guess that's what I was looking for.
The whole point of cryptocurrency for me is to get out of the dollar and not tether yourself right to it, not tie yourself to it. Yeah, there's risk involved in that because it could go down in value, and I guess that's what you're saying. You believe that this is going to stay
I said, it's a way station. Like you have a huge day in Litecoin today, and then everything in the whole market starts a free fall, like what happened when Litecoin, there was like an hour and a half where everything was losing value. So you throw in new bits and just sit there and wait for like 2 hours until the market starts to do something else. And then you go, oh, look, that's moving up. And you just throw it over there. And then like it costs you like $6 in transfer fees total to do those two flips. So because you're not doing it with Bitcoin.
Yeah.
So it's worth the $6 if you can make $30 on the next jump.
I was wondering if I could be someone who calls and gives you like facts around the world, like daily facts.
I mean, it's an open phone show, so anyone can call Free Talk Live anytime about anything that they want. So what is a fact that you would like to share?
Got
to be prepared with these sorts of things. So you know, if you don't have the fact prepared in advance, it's not going to sound very good.
Yeah. Well, there's a horror story called Jeff the Killer. I don't know if you want to hear it.
A horror story. Well, I don't know how long's the story?
Not that long.
Okay, because now we've gone from a fact to a horror story. So go ahead. You can tell your story.
Okay. Well, this story is about a little boy who got beat up by a bunch of kids, and his brother came out and was defending him, but Jeff killed those people, so he felt happy. But then after a couple of days, he felt sad about it. So then at midnight, he was in the bathroom and his mom heard him crying coming from the bathroom. So she opened the door and saw that he had cut his eyelids out and cut a permanent smile like the Joker in there. Wow. And before he killed his whole family, he said, "Mommy, you lied," and killed his whole family.
I was actually a TV star. I was on the cable access channel about maybe 20, 30 times.
You're a TV star? Wow.
Well, I mean, the local cable access channel.
Did people recognize you around town? Like when you're going to the grocery store, did people say, "Hey, I saw you on television"?
Well, actually, that happened to me in Boston. I was on the cable access there. And people recognize me in Las Lunas. People have seen me in Grant, New Mexico. And plus, I was on the television when I was pushing the red light cameras.
Well, congratulations. Did you call to brag about your television stardom?
Well, you know what? I'm
gentlemen, I am a star. I have been on television 20, 30 times. My, you really must pay attention to the things I'm saying. I've been on television.
Well, you know what? I just want to say that my accomplishments is that I had talked about my bus show. I had a bus show for one hour.
A bus show?
I talked about public transportation for 1 hour.
My God, can you imagine that? Can you imagine Sarah talking about her favorite topics for an entire hour?
You just heard highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. You can download full episodes, subscribe to our podcast, listen live, and more, all for free at freetalklive.com.